Every year on March 17th, the Irish and the Irish at heart across the globe observe St. Patrick's Day. What began as a religious feast day for the patron saint of Ireland has become a celebration welcoming all who enjoy anything Irish. To find out more about the holiday and its celebration here in Atlanta, we're joined by Shane Stevens, the Consul General of Ireland, based here in Atlanta. What are some important things we should know about St. Patrick's Day?
Well, St. Patrick's Day is something special and precious to us because, as you know, Ireland is a small country, but we sort of punch above our weight in terms of having a big impact globally, and particularly in the United States. And March, which is now Irish American Heritage Month, and particularly around St. Patrick's Day, is a time when that impact is most intense. So we really get noticed. And this small country of, you know, 5 million people, less than 5 million people in the south, and less than 2 million people in the north, can really have a big impact. So through our culture, we get out the good word about what our companies are doing, and we celebrate the general relationship, the general great relationship we have with the United States, which is very historic and then also very lively today.
So the religious significance of it really has kind of taken on a quieter role than the festive aspect.
Both things are important. I mean, of course, we are traditionally a very religious country, and we're still a very religious and spiritual country. And of course, St. Patrick was interesting in many ways. He was a migrant to Ireland. He was actually Welsh, in fact. And he's a migrant to our country who enriched our country in huge and significant ways. And he taught us in the days when we were simple people about the subtleties of Christianity, and used the shamrock to explain the three different parts of God. And for many communities in Ireland and the United States, that traditional religious side of things is very important. But for others, it's just a center point and a focal point for celebrating all things Irish in all dimensions. And we certainly love the idea of everyone being Irish on St. Patrick's Day, people from every religious background and no religious background, and all colors and creeds and all of that.
I was driving home yesterday and I noticed a house on our street is completely decorated with green lights.
And we actually have an official government policy of greening. So that means we promote the idea of greening famous monuments all around the world. We do that with green lights, with the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the pyramids, and lots of wonderful locations all around the world are lit up. I know last year some of the characteristic buildings, including the Pantheon in Nashville, were lit up. So it's something that's great fun and adds to the energy and excitement. And we love this. I mean, even when it becomes sort of bling, and
one can't have enough bling.
No, we love it. And for example, I'm going to use that sort of greening theme to help promote Irish food with one of your local chefs here, Thomas McKeown, in the Hyatt downtown. We're going to hopefully go on TV and talk about Irish food together as part of this, the excitement of St. Patrick's Day. So it's a really wonderful opportunity for us.
I know growing up, I thought of corned beef and cabbage and soda bread as the quintessential Irish foods. What other Irish foods might one encounter on St. Patty's?
Well, over here in the States, I hope you're going to be having some Kerrygold Irish butter and Kerrygold Irish cheese, or maybe some Cashel blue cheese. They're all produced from this great milk we have in Ireland, which comes from these small family farms where the cattle graze outside, eating wild grass in a very free and sustainable way. So we're delighted with promoting those kind of food products.
The actual celebration of St. Patrick's Day, it doesn't go back that many centuries, does it?
Well, I'm very conscious that one of the most significant celebrations of St. Patrick's Day was organized by General George Washington. Many of his troops were Irish, and many of them Scots-Irish. And in the middle of one of his battles at Morristown, New Jersey, he instituted one of the first major St. Patrick's Day festivals for his tired troops. So many of them were Irish, that it made sense to focus on that theme. So that's going back quite a while. So and as you can see, for a long time, the celebration of St. Patrick has been something that we've done in Ireland in cooperation with the United States. Irish Americans have had a big impact on how we celebrate this globally and even in Ireland.
Well, I was hoping to ask you that. How do the celebrations differ from the U.S. to Ireland?
Well, there's been so much bouncing back and forth that now they're getting closer again. We have a very big St. Patrick's Festival week in Ireland these days, and it's very culturally focused. So we've drawn a lot on the experiences of St. Patrick's Day, all the great festivals we've enjoyed over here in the U.S., and we've brought many of those traditions back. We also have lots of those college marching bands playing in our St. Patrick's Day parade, which is fun. But the one thing you don't have over here, which we do have in Dublin, is our Lord Mayor's carriage. Our Lord Mayor has this ancient carriage, which is about 200 or 300 years old, which he gets to ride up and down the streets of Dublin in that very fine old carriage on St. Patrick's Day.
I think we need one here. Why the wearing of the green?
Why the wearing of the green? Well, as if for a long time, green has been our not since the beginning, but for a very long time, green has been our national colour. It has been symbolised Ireland in a fun way. Also, it's been associated with our pursuit for national independence. Was certainly associated with wearing of the green. And if you say someone, a politician, is very green, you might say they're more nationalist, they're more passionate about Ireland's autonomy and independence and that sort of thing. It's a great term because it can be spun so many ways. And in fact, we have our national food sustainability brand is Origin Green. So in that case, we use green in both meanings of the word. And so today, as I was mentioning, we're very proud of the fact that our milk and our butter and our beef are produced in the most sustainable possible way, just because they're produced by cattle that roam around outside on green fields. And to build on that natural strength that we have, we've introduced a system of regulation. And that's all run under a program called Origin Green.
Ah, okay. Well, I read that the custom of wearing green actually relates to the lore of the leprechauns. Because supposedly, if you wear green, the leprechauns can't see you.
We don't actually refer to them as leprechauns in Ireland. We only refer to them as the good people, because you have to keep on the right side of them. If you get on the wrong side of these good people, they can play wicked tricks, all sorts of magic and wicked tricks. So we always stay on the good side of them. We always call them the good people. We want to stay on the right side. They can be a little bit dangerous.
Have you come across any folks who feel less than proud of some of the ways in which St. Patrick's Day is celebrated here?
Well, there have been times when perhaps some St. Patrick's Day celebrations have been too much associated with alcohol and maybe even drinking too much. And so I'm very delighted that the way that the parades are run here. The St. Patrick's Day parade in Atlanta on March the 11th is a very family-friendly event. It's great fun. They have even have a road race beforehand, very healthy. And it's really nice. It's a lovely family-friendly atmosphere. And again, it's the same also of the huge parade they have in Savannah, this enormous event, which is almost always on March 17th, on the Friday. And again, it's family-orientated. You have huge crowds from every background lining the streets.
But there is a tradition of revelry. And do you have green beer in Ireland?
We don't really have very much green beer. I think green beer is slightly more an American thing.
Okay. What can we look forward to in Atlanta in celebration of St. Paddy's Day?
We really have a wonderful program set up this year. We have last week I had a minister over visiting, promoting Irish tourism. And then in the run-up to St. Patrick's Day, we'll have another minister, Minister Michael Ringover, our Minister for Economic Development. We're going to have, on the day of the parade, just afterwards, we'll have a wonderful performance called The Daughters of Ireland in America, which is going to be a sort of a spoken word and a piano piece which celebrates Irish women writers. That's going to be done at the Atlanta Fulton Central Library at 3 p.m. on March the 11th. And it's an original work created and conceived by Sandra Hughes, who I think you may know. And the piano will be played by John Burke, who you probably know also, who is a Grammy-nominated artist.
We actually had him on our show.
And then the following week, something which is really wonderful is going to happen in Athens, Georgia, organized by the University of Georgia. They're going to have one of our finest writers, Colm Tobin, over. The writer of the novel Brooklyn, which of course was made into a wonderful film. And he's going to be accompanied by Fintan O'Toole, one of our most famous journalists from Ireland, who's particularly excellent on cultural matters. And perhaps the leading Shannon singer, that's his old style Irish singing, whose name is Éire O'Linnart. So there's going to be a great combination act there from the 15th to the 17th of March in Athens, Georgia.
So really, the celebration is one leading up to the holiday. It all sort of culminates with the observance on the 17th, which is when St. Patrick died. It's not celebrating his birthday.
Yes, we will definitely focus on the run up to St. Patrick's Day. And in fact, because these events in Athens are so important, our minister is going to go down, Minister Michael Ring, to launch the events. And that's kind of emblematic of the way in which our government prioritizes culture. Culture is very important for us here and all around the world in giving Ireland a high profile, giving Ireland a positive profile, and for emphasizing that this small green country is a very creative place.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because only recently did I learn about Creative Ireland, which is a government legacy program. Would you explain that initiative?
Yes, Creative Ireland is something that we're very proud of. It's a new program just launched a few months ago, which was very much inspired by the successes of our Ireland 2016 program. And you'll remember from last year, that was a program through which we marked the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Rising, the rising that sparked Ireland's independence. So following on the successes of that program and the way we had sort of the government leading a kind of a team effort that brought in universities and brought in artists and brought in local authorities and our diaspora abroad, the Irish American diaspora abroad, as well as people at home. So following up on that method, we're prioritizing culture in a major way, and under five pillars. The first pillar of this program is enabling the creative potential of every child. So that's something I'm very, very happy with. We're going to have a national plan to enable every child in Ireland to have access to tuition in music, drama, art, and coding.
Coding. So creativity is not only in the arts, but this extends to science. This is fantastic. I mean, this is money being designated to invest in children and young students so that the arts enhances their perspective and their learning.
Absolutely. And the creativity they learn playing the piano or drawing a beautiful picture can also, as you say, be applied to their scientific work, which were the STEM area, which we're also very focused on. And again, as you say, decent amounts of money will be put behind this plan. And we've already announced €9 million for a 5-year capital investment plan, which will go into building better theaters and drama workshops all around the country. And again, we're putting culture and creativity in as part of our commercial effort, not as something opposed to that, because the program will also include a program from promoting Ireland as a center for excellence in media production. I know you've had a lot of successes in that area here in Georgia as well. So we're going to be focusing on a plan for making Ireland a global hub for film, TV drama, and animation. And as you know, we're already pretty good in that area. We had 9 Academy Award nominations last year and 3 Academy Award nominations this year.
Shane Stevens, thanks so much, as always, for helping us to learn more about all things Irish.
Thank you, Lois.